Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder, joined by the feistiest columnist that ever was, Eric Zorn of the
Chicago
Tribune.
You're pretty feisty today.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to sue you if you're too feisty.
Trying to steal your feistiness?
I have a trademark on feistiness.
I don't want that. I don't want to go to court with you, Eric. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, things are fine. So it's what an interesting week of news again, as always.
What
it
happened?
Has been a lot. Everything's happened.
Everything's happened.
Tell us, Vice Master General.
Well, the story that I wrote about yesterday, which has my attention, is the story about this Blaine Elementary School in Chicago on the north side. Troy LaRiviere, hard last name to say, was principal there, award-winning principal. He won multiple merit bonuses there.
Yeah.
Is a great speaker, talker, writer, but a harsh critic of Mayor Emanuel. He backed Chuy Garcia publicly. He was campaigning for Bernie Sanders. Last Wednesday, Chicago Public Schools, you know, reassigned him, quote unquote. They sent him home, and who knows what's going to happen to him. That's kind of, you know, they put you off in a space, and then
does reassignment mean he's out of a job for a while, or they'll find him another school?
I think he's at home, reassigned to his couch until further notice. And I'm not sure what kind of contract he's under. Or
what was the reason they gave for this?
Well, the reasons were very vague, and they never really said. They just said that he had. I can actually tell you exactly what they said,
right.
Because it was so unsatisfying to so many people. But they cited alleged acts of misconduct, including violations of a previously board-issued warning resolution. And that had to do, I believe, with the his encouragement of students and parents not to take some of the standardized tests, that he feels that students are tested too much in these schools.
Yeah.
They put too much emphasis and too much time onto these standardized tests. He's a very eloquent guy, a very powerful speaker, and the question that came to my mind, it's come to a lot of people's mind, is why at this time when Mayor Emanuel has so much on his plate? Now, he runs the Board of Education. They say, you know, the Board of Ed said, oh, we did this without consulting the mayor, and the mayor's office said, oh, we had nothing to do with this. But it is his Board of Education. It's one of the artifacts of the school reform from the 90s, which is the Chicago mayor owns the schools, for better or for worse. I mean, when they go well, he takes credit for it. When they don't go well, he gets the blame.
Is it like that in other major cities?
Not every major city. No, it all depends on how it's done and whether they have elected school boards, appointed school boards. Here, the school board is appointed. So in any case, you know, Mayor Emanuel, he's got this crime problem right now, 1,000 shooting victims that was announced last week already in the city. He's got the problem trying to push through this Lucas Museum plan.
Right.
And we've got, you know, these incredible other problems that are caused by the state budget crisis is going on. So why at this moment you would create this kind of a controversy? And the parents were out this morning at Blaine Elementary. It's up there by the Music Box Theater, if you know where, you know,
off Southport,
just south of Irving Park Road.
Yeah,
they were out there protesting. They're going to be out there again protesting this afternoon, 5:30, I guess. And they've got the Stand With Troy hashtag T-shirts and Twitter campaign going. I don't know what's going to happen, but what's going on is that he is running. He was a candidate to run, and I want to get the name right, but it's the Principals Association here, the Chicago Principal and Administrative Association, Principals and Administrative Association. He was one of the two candidates to run that job. The head of it is outgoing.
Yeah.
And so the thought was, well, if they get rid of him, then he won't have this newfound prominence.
Mm-hmm.
But the head of that association said, well, nothing in our bylaws prohibits someone who is no longer a principal from being the head of this. And it seems quite possible that the principals will get behind him and elect him. I think it's next month that they're going to have their election to that position. So in a sense, what Mayor Emanuel's done is he's called, or what the CPS has done, without Mayor Emanuel's knowledge, is they have called attention to this guy. They've made him into a martyr, into a cause celeb. The parents are all riled up because apparently he does a very good job there. I don't know what the play is here. I don't know what the thinking is. He was outspoken. He was a thorn in the mayor's side as an activist principal, but he was getting results, and the parent community was behind him. I say you let the guy rant and rave, and you don't call too much attention to it. I mean, I'm thinking one of the analogies that comes to my mind is the Catholic Church and Father Flager. You know, Father Flager is a pain in the archdiocese's rear end, right? Yeah. I mean, he is. He's off script. He's off message quite a bit. And remember they tried to reassign him?
I do.
When was that? I
mean,
you know,
a couple of years ago.
And just it just kind of it made it strengthened him. You know,
right.
It was like it made him. more entrenched, because the tradition in the church is to move people from parish to parish.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Because it's about the church. It's not about the individuals, right? They don't want to have this cult of personality so much in the parishes. Anyway, I'm rambling on here, but that's the feeling I have, which is that when you do something like that to try to squash somebody by firing them, you thinking, well, this will get the dissent under control, it has a tendency to backfire.
But explain this, because we went through this in Evanston at the church that my wife attends. There was a pastor there that was extremely popular and had been there for years, and everything was working on all cylinders. Attendance was good. People were happy. And they pulled him. They put him in another church, and it really hurt everybody there at the parish. The attendance is nowhere near what it was a couple of years ago. So what's in it for them in moving these guys around?
I don't know. It's a mystery, because when you have something like this, you realize that, what's the saying in politics? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah.
And it seemed like this violates that number one tenet there, which is you don't turn somebody into a martyr. You don't turn someone into a hero. Who knew this guy's name? I mean, I even had a hard time pronouncing it,
right.
Troy La Riviere. And he's, I actually had a lot of conversations with my friends and neighbors on the northwest side of Chicago over the weekend, and half of them hadn't heard of him. They knew there was some principal, but now everybody knows the guy's name. Stand with Troy. He's got a hashtag. And I was just thinking, this is just, they ought to just like let him go back there, let him run the school. He's not right now. I actually think, you can mark this down. I think that he might be the person that they're looking for to run for mayor against Emmanuel.
Is that right?
Well, it's 2019, right? Which
yeah.
is the next election. So it's so far off.
But
there are no rising Democrats. I mean, remember we talked about Karen Lewis,
the
head of the Chicago Teachers Union. And she is, compared to this, this guy is outspoken.
But Karen Lewis is
very polarizing. And also she has her reputation was built as a union head. And that's an automatically somewhat polarizing position.
Mm-hmm.
La Riviere's fame and so on has come as a result of his talents as a principal, as an educator. And we're all for the children. We're all for education. For someone who, if he was able to get some political momentum here, some funding, platform, I can imagine him going to like a think tank, one of these places where he can spend his entire days railing against how Emmanuel's been running the schools. I mean, he was one of the first people, by the way, to come out against Barbara Bird Bennett in this soups contract, this principal consulting. I mean, he was calling baloney on that way before anybody else was. And of course, she turned out to be a crook, and so he looks prescient there. And, I can see someone like this being the kind of figure, because it's been very hard for opponents of incumbent Chicago mayors to get traction.
Yeah, right.
Chuy Garcia seemed like a nice enough guy, but boy, he was not very good as a candidate, and he wasn't very impressive. He didn't seem to have a comprehensive and solid platform.
But even that said, he actually ended up getting a lot of people, their interest and their vote, and that was the guy who, as you said, wasn't the best option.
Although more interest than vote, correct?
Yes, I think that's right. I think a lot of people voted for him thinking that, I don't know that he's going to be that great a mayor, but I've got to send a message to Mayor Emanuel.
It was a vote against Emanuel, not a vote for Garcia.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that with someone like Troy, he might be the kind of person who, given a couple of years to get a whole platform together, to build support, he could be the kind of guy. I mean, African-American man, which is, I think, is an important asset for a candidate who's going to run against Mayor Emanuel.
Yeah.
And I think he would have citywide appeal. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. So
right.
I can mark that down. So
that's Eric Zorn. He's feisty. He works for the Chicago Tribune. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, along with our friend Eric Zorn, the feisty columnist for your Chicago Tribune. Eric, how about this? Ted Cruz and John Kasich are now teaming up against Donald Trump.
It's huge.
It's going to be. It is going to be.
Well, it's interesting. What they've decided to do is split up. You guys have talked about this already this morning.
Nope.
Off the air.
Okay, it's off the air. It's unbelievable. No, Cruz has taken Indiana. He said, I'm going to run in Indiana. Kasich's going to pull his ads out of Indiana. And then Kasich's going to run in Oregon and New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And Cruz is not going to compete there. And their idea is that they need to win delegates from Trump. Now, there's a couple of things I think are problematic about this. One is that when you have two people getting votes, you can sometimes deny a majority to the front runner, which is important when you're in some of these states when you're trying to gather delegates. And the other thing is that it plays right into Trump's narrative that he's a victim of this these party insiders getting together against him, you know, planning to change the rules of the convention.
He's just going to get more votes now.
He is inflaming his supporters. This is inflaming Trump supporters, I think, this collusion. And it also it erodes Cruz's brand as being an outsider, because all of a sudden he's partnering with an insider, Kasich. So I just think it really reeks of desperation.
And here's my question. If they're going to, okay, you take Iowa, I'll take this state. When push comes to shove and the end is near, who's going to, you know, say, well, I want the credit for this? There's going to be a little inner fight there as well.
Well, they both think that they're the one who's going to do ultimately seduce the delegates at the convention. So they both.
Do you see why Trump sounds so good? Because this whole political thing is crazy.
It's such an insider thing. Another problem with this thing I didn't even mention is that early voting has started in these places. I mean, people have already voted in some of these.
This early?
Sure, it's only 2 weeks away, right? So
for the primaries,
primaries.
Like, please.
So, but you know, tomorrow is what they call the Acela primary. Acela is that Amtrak line, the high-speed Amtrak rail that runs from Washington to Boston, runs through all these states: Connecticut, Delaware, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. Those are the states that are having primaries tomorrow. And there's some polling out this morning. Trump is up by 26 points, 26 percentage points in Pennsylvania. He's up by 34 in Connecticut. He's up by 38 in Rhode Island.
But isn't this because I was telling Bill off the air, it's like if Kasich and Cruz are going to come together now and try and derail Trump's train, it's too late. They should have gotten him out of the running beforehand.
Much earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't seem fair or right, and I am not voting for Trump at this point in my voting career.
I know she hedges that.
Right.
Well, I don't want to anger a lot of the people out there. You vote for whom you think is best, but
not Trump.
Eric said that. But I mean, it doesn't seem right for the people who say, I'm throwing my vote behind Trump and you're telling me my vote doesn't matter. It's just, this is not fair.
Well, this is the problem they're going to face at the convention, which is that it goes against our sense of democracy and fairness, which is if Trump comes into that convention, he needs 1,237 delegates. Mm-hmm. And he's going to come in maybe with that many. If he wins by these kind of margins that these recent polls are looking at, then this all may be just, you know, chin music here. There may be no reason to talk about it. But he may come up short. He may come up with 1,100. He may come up with, you know, I mean, he's going to be short, but a little bit short, way out in front of Cruz. And, of course, miles ahead of Kasich, who doesn't have very many at all. And so the question is, well, you know, come on. He's got the most votes. He's won the most states. Shouldn't he be our party's nominee? This is his argument and the argument of his supporters. The people in the party say, well, no, the rules are that you got to get over 50%. And I just don't think that argument plays very well.
What if Cruz was ahead? Would they say that to him? Like, you're ahead, but you don't have the votes, we're going to put someone else in there.
I think probably not, because Cruz is much more of a establishment. I mean, I know he plays a renegade, but he's more of a mainstream or extreme conservative. But he's within the boundaries of acceptability for the party. Trump is just out there, right? I mean, he's got all kinds of
views
that are just you know, unorthodox, to put it.
We talked earlier that one of the Koch brothers, extreme right wingers, the Koch brothers, Charles Koch, I believe, is the one who said, he believes that Hillary Clinton might be the better option over what the Republicans are offering up. So what does he get out of that?
That was really interesting how he said that. I think that what he fears is the Republican Party just going up in a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And somebody wrote me a letter, talked about the half-life of the radioactive explosion.
Yeah.
Like, how long is that going to hurt the party? And I think that what Koch is thinking is that even if Trump wins, he is so bad for the Republican brand, for his brand, that he would rather see Hillary Clinton in there for 4 years. I don't know. It does seem like it was surprising to hear Koch say that, because those guys have been putting, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars
behind
extremely conservative candidates.
I know. That was a little bit of a shock. But I can't figure out what exactly his tactic was in saying that. I understand what he's saying.
I don't know. He may just be one of these. I mean, he's, what, 84 years old? Maybe he's someone who just, like, says what's on his mind. He may not have been very tactical. He may just been like, you know, your drunk uncle at Thanksgiving. Like, you know what? I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton, by God. So I wouldn't
by
put
cracky, Jimmy, he would
by
say.
Cracky, by yep. Jiminy.
Hey, yep. Sorry, I don't know who the Koch brothers are. I know they're rich dudes, and but what does that have to do?
Well, they're rich industrialists, and they have been giving money to and supporting conservative candidates, Republican candidates for years, and have been they're big players. Every time you talk about the Citizens United decision, the Koch brothers comes up. Is that Steve Bertrand?
That out? Would be Steve Bertrand, yes.
Man.
Yes.
He's handsome.
Don't
guy.
Look directly at him. He asks that you not look. No eye contact.
I hate having to back out of the room, too. That's, that seems a bit much.
Yeah. You'd be used to it by now, but...
all right. Well, thank you. A lot going on in the news, certainly, this week, Eric.
Lots to talk about next week, too. Sure.
I know there will be. Steve Bertrand is next. He'll tell you what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.